Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Thank you for shining so brightly. I can see all of you in the light. It's wonderful. I thank you for your presence. I know sometimes when the weather is lovely and it's summertime, you can think of a million other places to be and a million other things to do. But I know a secret, that there's no better place you could be and no better thing you could be doing, right, than being in community with your brothers and sisters. It's wonderful. So I'm always delighted that you're here. I thank you, thank you, thank you. So, tomorrow, we get to celebrate Labor Day. Labor Day. You know, and oftentimes I'm very interested in the history of how a holiday comes into being. So sometimes I'll Google it or look it up, and I did that concerning Labor Day, and the Department of Labor wrote this. It says, Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. I thought, well, that's really great. So as a tribute to workers, they're given a day off from work. That seems like a pretty good deal. I mean, who here does not appreciate, right, having a day off every once in a while? Everybody wants a little day off every now and then. And if you're fortunate, you may love your work. You love it completely, and maybe you don't necessarily need a day off or want a day off. And perhaps not so much if you don't love your work or your work somehow poses a bit of a challenge for you. Oh, I've got to get up and go to work, right? I've got to do it on Monday once again. I was thinking if I took a poll of about 100 people, I would think that at least 75%, or maybe the majority, whatever that number might be, would probably say that they don't really love their work. It's a job, right? It's a job, and maybe even somebody's got to do it. Or perhaps they see it as a means of security. It provides certain creature comforts and the ability to feel secure that you have your basic needs met. Maybe it's just simply a way to make a living. Or even it could be just something to do, right? For some, it is pure drudgery, a necessary evil. Something our society came up with that says we got to go work to make a little money to have some food, instead of just planting food and everybody sharing it and eating it. So for some folks, it's a great love, and others, it's a burden. It's something that just, you know, we don't like to do or would prefer not to have to do. And yet, believe it or not, the soul needs work. The soul needs to have something that to do that is meaningful. Something that is productive, something that allows one to express themselves from within, because that's what work is, really. It's a form of expression, right? And that without work or expression or giving of oneself or meaning, the soul would die. We would literally wither and die. So since work is sort of necessary for our souls, we might somehow want to try to find how work can become our play. How can work become play? Lila Denmark said this. She said, anything you have to do is work. Anything you love to do is play. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for more play in my life, right? I want some more play. And by that, I simply mean I want to have more joy in whatever it is that I'm doing. Whatever it is that I'm doing, I want more joy in it. I want my work to seem as if it's play. I spent last week at the beach giving it my last run for some fun in the sun and at Myrtle Beach. And it rained a couple of days, which was actually very good because it really caused me to sort of be still a little bit. And although it was supposed to be a vacation, I still had some work to do. I'm preparing for this wonderful World Day of Prayer and writing people. And so I had some work to do, even though it was supposed to be my vacation. However, it really didn't feel like work while sitting on the balcony looking at the ocean. You know? I was like, I could get used to this. It's pretty good. And somehow I found that I was more relaxed and ideas seemed to flow to me. There was an ease to what I was doing and even a joy in what I was doing. I'm sitting here just, you know, on my laptop looking at the ocean. A thought would come in, I'd write it down or let me do this. But there was a flow and a grace. And I think it had to do with my environment, right? See, your environment could have something to do with turning your work into play. And because what it does is it makes a big difference in our psyche. And so we don't want to cut short, you know, how your surrounding can actually affect your being, your body, and your perspective, and your energy. It's very important. So what can we do to improve our environment? Maybe, you know, you can get out of the office every now and then. We go to work sometimes and we just get stuck there at that desk and we work, we take lunch, we eat at the... No. Perhaps go out for a bit or maybe, you know, sit at a cafe table instead of your desk. This is why I think it's places like Panera Bread. You know, when I go there, people are eating and they've got their laptops and they're working and they love to do it. If you go to Panera, they're all there, or a coffee shop or whatever. People are on their laptops and they're working. They're doing two things: eating, which we like to do, and working. But perhaps it's something that frees them up because it's a different environment, one that causes them to feel a little bit more relaxed. And certainly, having laptops is a great invention, because without that, we used to have to be stuck at the desk. With a laptop, you can work anywhere, you know, from any place. By the way, they found my, did I tell you that I left my laptop on the plane? They called me and they found my laptop. So that's good. So now I have two, because I went out and brought another one, because I needed to work. But I'm going to give that one to my mother so she can learn how to do laptop work. So I can put her to work, you know? But that's a great invention because it enables us this mobility. We are a mobile people, a people on the move. So having the ability to work from anywhere is really a blessing. It could be in a park, you know, on a bench, or at the beach, or wherever. The object is to be creative. If you have an opportunity to get out of work. Now, if you're a medical doctor and you're doing surgery in the operating room, we can't take it outside. You gotta, you know. But even then, find a break to be able to be outside in nature or to find a different environment. It's extremely important for us to do that so that we can be relaxed and more open and receptive, and you will find you'll be more creative and more productive. Now, in addition to your environment affecting the work that you do, we also know that one's attitude, your attitude towards your work, is especially vital if your work is going to be seen as play. You're going to have a different mindset. So if you can begin to see your work as something that is connected to your soul and your soul's growth, then you'll be able to engage it in a way that is positive and actually fulfilling if you can relate it to soul work, soul purpose, right? A spiritual energy. Gary Zukav, in his book, The Seat of the Soul, he says this. He says, when the deepest part of you becomes engaged in what you are doing, when your activities and actions become gratifying and purposeful, when what you do serves both yourself and others, when you do not tire within but seek the sweet satisfaction of your life and your work, you are doing what you were meant to be doing. The personality that is engaged in the work of its soul is buoyant. It is not burdened with negativity. Get it? Buoyant, but not burdened with negativity. So I ask, are you buoyant or are you burdened? Right? And then he says, it does not fear. It experiences purposefulness and meaning. It delights in its work and in others. It is fulfilled and fulfilling. So the question we want to ask ourselves is, are we actually fulfilled? Are you fulfilled in the work that you do? You see, it's not really about the type of work that you do. Some people say, well, if I had a more meaningful job, if I were a doctor, a lawyer, or some things that we hold in high esteem, maybe then I'd feel more fulfilled. It's not about the type of work that you do, but how you work within the work that is yours to do. You get that? Doesn't matter what you do. If your job is to sweep the floors, then are you sweeping it with purpose and meaning? Are you able to see your role in it as contributing to something? Somebody made a comment to me that had visited the church, and they came in the sanctuary and they looked around and they went to my office and they said the strangest thing, but now I get it. They said, this church is just so clean. And I thought, yes, cleanliness is next to godliness. And so the people who clean it are doing what? Sacred work. Not meaningless work, sacred work. So what is the consciousness and the attitude that you bring to your work? Are you buoyant or burdened? Are you contributing or complaining? Are you creative or closed-minded? Are you a visionary or a victim? Are you a worker or a whiner? Come on now. Some of you may be in the other category. Right? You might be one of those, they don't pay me enough to do what I do. Have you ever said that? Come on, they don't pay me enough. Or are you, wow, I can't give enough to do what I do. Two different places to be. It's all in your attitude. Because we know your consciousness is so important that you bring to every activity. Living, working, driving, whatever. The attitude you bring is so powerful and important. The conscious choices you make about what you're doing is so vital and important. You can choose to work with joy. That is an option. You can choose to find meaning in what you do, whatever it is, because it truly doesn't matter what you do, as long as it is serving others or as long as it's serving a higher purpose, or that you can see your role and your place and your anointing upon the greater picture. So when they vacuum this, it could feel like, just gone every Sunday, I got to vacuum this. These people are so messy. Or it can feel like, wow, I am beautifying this sanctuary. What an opportunity I have. I'm just giving that as an example. It could be anything. It's your interpretation, your perspective upon which you share about what you're doing that will have meaning for you. Whether it feels like this is draining you or it's just a drudge on your life. What you're doing. And in order for your doing to have meaning, you have to be in touch with your being. You get that? In order for you to do it, now you got to do whatever you do. You want to do it with high intent, high consciousness, high purpose. But in order for your doing to have meaning, you have to be in touch with your being, right? Your beingness must come first, because that is what is going to filter through your doing. Emily Cady, in her book, Lessons in Truth, put it this way. She said, doing is secondary to being. Now, we're going to have to do, but it is secondary to your being. Be, then do. Now, we've been conditioned to do and to forget about being, right? So be, then do. And be what? Well, be open to discovering or uncovering yourself. Be in touch with you. Be present even to your own self. Sometimes we are not even present to what we need until we are laid out flat and we think, oh, I guess I need some rest. Right? Until something happens. Oh, okay. Well, not be present to yourself. Your body may be speaking to you. Your mind may be calling to you. There might be something that the divine is trying to get your attention to, but we're not present to ourselves. So be first, then do. Be. We are so busy doing, achieving, acquiring, that we forget who we are. We forget who we are, and we become, when that happens, when you start forgetting who you are, then your doing becomes disconnected from your soul. Your doing becomes disconnected from your being. Your doing somehow becomes disconnected from something that is purposeful and divine. It becomes work devoid of meaning, which then becomes a drudge. Someone said that we work to become, not to acquire. And we've forgotten that. Sometimes we think we work so that we can acquire. We work to become. Work is a divine expression, wanting to come forth so that we can become our greater selves. And along the way, we're going to acquire things, but that's fine. You must have it in perspective. When we are in touch with that inner call to express, to demonstrate, to produce, to create, because it is an inner call. It's a divine purpose. What happens is then our work is not work, but it becomes play. We have to then give ourselves time to go within and to find that source of inspiration, to find ways that we can then be rejuvenated and energized and full of energy with the, to create. This is why we need recreation, right? You need recreation, which is simply to what? To recreate oneself. Rest from our work so that we can recharge and renew and restore and reconnect with our spirit, with ourselves, with who we are, with our purpose, to get in touch. We recreate, we recreate. Now here's a challenge. When you need a vacation from your vacation, you've missed the true point of recreation. Right? Because sometimes you come home from your vacation, you're like, oh, because you thought, again, let me get everything in that I got to do. I run here, run here. That's not quite it. That's not quite what recreating yourself is about. You can have time to do all those things, but you must have some time in which it is totally dedicated for recreation, to put yourself in touch with your being once again. Maybe it's about walking within nature, going for a walk in nature. See, I think we have done ourselves a great disservice. We have no trees, we have concrete, we have all this stuff. We have lost the ability to touch the earth and to what that's the earth is healing. There's energy and vibration and renewal that comes from that when, you know, we walk upon the earth and walk with conscious thought, walk with observing the beauty, be in nature. When you're in nature, then your nature is restored. You get a sense of what becomes natural. It's natural for us to be in nature. It is unnatural for us to be in concrete facilities all day long. So while we're progressing, and we want to have progress, but we must be able to to touch what brings balance to the soul, that helps us to remember our divine and natural sense of nature and beingness within ourselves. It is so vital and important for us to do that. Because when you can do that, you know, spend a few days in silence, maybe even one day, no TV, no books, no computers, just practice being. Sometimes people are afraid to even be with themselves. You know, what can I do? Boredom sets in. Oh, I've got to move. Just be. Be silent. See, you would be surprised at what you will uncover when you begin to be present. You'll be surprised at what you will begin to hear from within. You'll be surprised at what creativity and wisdom and energy you will begin to feel, and it'll begin to fill your being. Divine ideas will start to flow to you. Answers will come naturally. Guidance and direction become clearer. There's no outer filter static coming in. So you get it clear. You get it direct. You see? What happens is all of a sudden, your doing will be an arising within you. Your doing will arise with more grace and ease because it will be coming from your beingness, from the Spirit of God within you. You get that point? When you let your doing arise. See, when we work from our heads, there's a lot of effort involved. You gotta, you know, a lot of effort. We gotta figure it all out. I'm working hard, trying to master it and figure it out and plan it out. But that's working from the head. And what will happen is you'll get tired. You'll be burned out, right? When you're working from the head, burnout is simple and easy. But when you begin to work from God, to work from Spirit, to work from the Spirit that is leading you and guiding you, your work is effortless. Effortless. I want to be Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. Turn to somebody and say, let's be Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. Let's be Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. See, and when you are Spirit-fed and Spirit-led, your work becomes effortless. Now, that doesn't mean that you will not have to put forth effort. Don't go out here and say, Reverend Sylvie said, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to sit there and work and God's going to do it all. No, Jesus said, my Father works and I work. But what it means, though, is that the effort is not a struggle. The effort is led with grace and ease. So you will work, but you're going to work with a different vibration. Things will come and you'll put it into action. Things will arrive, an idea, and you'll move. Instead of sitting there trying to think it up and work it out and figure it out and all that. It's not good for the soul. See, when you are Spirit-fed and Spirit-led, your effort is inspired because it's filled with Spirit. To be inspired is to be in the Spirit, filled with Spirit. You see, when you take the time to rest and to connect with Spirit and to truly recreate yourself, or recreate in the highest form of that word, you'll find that you'll have more energy, more alertness, more wisdom, more creativity, more zeal, more enthusiasm. To be enthused is to be filled with God, right? God energy, that's what it means, divine energy. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said this at 94 years old. He said, I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that ought to be done by me. 94, he didn't say, Lord, oh, just so, right? I'm 94, can you just do it for me? He said, no, I love that. I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm, and I spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that ought to be done by me. That is said from a man who learned to turn work into play, right? who remain connected to the divine source so that his expressions, his tasks could all be done with joy, right? Not deplete his energy or to burn him out. If your work is draining you, if you are a workaholic and out of touch with the internal things that bring balance and play and recreation or whatever, your zeal will consume you. It's good to have zeal, but if you're out of balance, it'll eat you up. So this is it. Fill yourself with God. If you can fill yourself with God, with the divine, with spirit, to be enthused, to be inspired, your work will arise with joy, and the natural outcome will be ease and grace and fluidity and divine order, right? And a flow. You let God have its perfect way in your life and affairs. And all of a sudden, when you allow, you're letting God, you're letting Spirit lead and guide, then all of a sudden joy and ease come into your life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not me working and struggling, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. You go within, touch that spirit. You allow God to work in you. So I say this. Why don't you see if you can observe what you are doing, your doingness, because we got doing and being. But see if you can observe your doing from different eyes and begin to see it as an opportunity to bring your best and your highest self to whatever it is that you're doing. Your best and your highest self to bear. See it as a meaningful expression, because that's what work is a divine expression. And it need not be work, but it can be play, the play of the divine in you, the play of God in you. Richard Bach said this. He said, "The more I want to get something done, the less I call it work." I love that. You got to play with the mind. Sometimes you got to trick yourself, right? If you think, oh, look at the work I have to do, and you're coming with this heavy attitude, well, it's going to feel heavy. The more I have to get done, the less I'm going to call it work. I get to play at this. See, consciousness is everything. Perspective is everything. Attitude is everything. So when you go to work, how about this? Try seeing your colleagues as your playmates. Right? They don't have to be your work, your colleagues. Let them be your playmates. And then instead of thinking, well, what's the work we have to do today? Think, well, what are we going to create today together? We're embarking in a creation. And what will we as playmates create in this effort, you see? It's all about consciousness and how you approach things. Work is meant to be a divine creation. It is meant to have a divine purpose for which we add to the greater good of all concern. It's about adding. So when you go to work, I want you to see what you can bring more of from yourself to your work. What can I do more of? See where you can give yourself from a higher place, a higher consciousness, so that you're actually adding to and contributing to something that will be good for all. That's the purpose. Buddha said this. He said, your work is to discover your work and then with all your heart to give yourself to it. And I would add with balance, joy, rest, and play. Those things. Life is meant to be lived, not just about making a living. And work is meant to be joy and not a drain. So live, laugh, love, play. Those things are the foundation for a work that can actually transform the soul. So let's do the greater work, the greater works that Jesus said we could do. Come and let your work be divine play. I'm getting ready to play. Y'all want to play with me? Yes. All right. Blessings and namaste. Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Namaste.